Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Cyrela Brazil Realty conference call, where we'll discuss the second quarter of 2020 earnings results. All this time, all participants are as a listen-only mode, and later we'll conduct a question and answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. Should you require any assistance during the call, please just press star zero. And as a reminder, this conference is being recorded and the audio will be available at the company's website, www.cyrela.com.br/ri. This call is being simultaneously translated into English and is being broadcast over the internet. Questions can also be asked by participants connected abroad. The earnings release that was published yesterday, 13th of August, after the close of the B3 trading session, can also be accessed on the company's website. Before we proceed, we would like to mention that the forward-looking statements that may be made during this conference call relative to the company's business prospects and forecasts and operating targets related to its financial growth potential are predictions which are based on the management's expectations about the future of Cyrela. These expectations are highly dependent on the domestic market conditions, the general economic performance of the country and international markets. Therefore, they are subject to change. With us today, we have Mr. Raphael Horn, our co-CEO, and Mr. Miguel Mickelberg, our CFO. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Horn. Mr. Horn, you may begin. Good morning, everybody. Well, the second quarter of 2020 was marked by the global adherence to socialization amid the coronavirus pandemic. And that seriously affected the performance of both the Brazilian and global economy. Even though the pace of our construction work did not slow significantly, sales fell sharply, especially in the month of April. As a result, we postponed most of our launches scheduled for the second quarter. However, the real estate industry recovered well in June, and the sector had a very good restart, driven by the interest rates at all-time low and the partial reopening of the economy, combined with good inventory sales and the launch of Ipiranga. In terms of operations, sales under Minha Casa Minha Vida program were the main highlight during the quarter, once again showing the resilience of the low-income segment during economic crisis. Concerning our financial performance, we recorded a strong gross margin of 32.8% and a net income of 68 million reais. Considerable uncertainty persists, but the strong sales of launches and inventory units make us confident that the real estate industry will perform well in the coming quarters. Now, let's comment on our national launches. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. In slide number 5, we have Cyrela's launches. In the 2Q20, we launched 5 new projects with a PSV of 25 million reals, 81% less year on year. Excluding swaps, the volume launched in Cyrela's share in the second quarter was 20% lower year on year. The company's share in volume launched in the second quarter of 2020 was 73% compared to 80% year on year. On slide 6, we highlight the major release in the quarter that was 52% sold on that period, which was the Ipiranga level. On slide 7, we'll talk about our sales performance. In the second quarter of 2020, the pre-sales were 818 million reals, 58% lower year on year. Excluding swap, pre-sales amounted to 1.5 billion in Israel share, 28% decrease year on year. The state of São Paulo accounted for 70% of our sales. On slide 8, we'll address sales speed. The company's annual SOS was 50.7%. Looking at sales speed by period, projects launched in the second quarter of 2020 have been 43% canceled. On slide number 9, we'll address Cyrela's total inventory. At the end of the quarter, inventory at market value totaled 5.7 billion reals, down by 6.5% quarter on quarter. The change in our inventory can be seen in the chart to our left. On slide number 10, you can see a breakdown of our finished units. And in the second quarter of 2020, we sold 8% of the finished units and the beginning of the period. Adding the inventory projects delivering along the quarter, pricing units at market value, finished units inventory decreased by 5% quarter on quarter. On slide 11, we'll talk about delivered units. In the second quarter, Cyrela delivered 12 projects, totaling almost 3,000 units and a PSV of 641 million reals. In the first half 2020, more than 6,000 units were delivered, representing a PSV of 1.3 billion reals. On slide 13, we'll address our financial results. The net revenue was 839 million reais in the quarter, 10% higher quarter on quarter and 10% lower year on year. In the first semester, the revenue was 1.6 billion. A million reals, 9% lower year on year. The gross profit in the quarter was 275 million reals, up by 5% quarter on quarter and 6% lower year on year. In the first half, gross profit amounted to 536 million reals, pretty comparable to 2019. Our net profit total 68 million reals in the second quarter of 2020 with a net margin of 8.1% compared to a profit of 28 million reals quarter on quarter and 114 million reals year on year. And the first half year net profit reached 96 million reals. Now, please let's go to slide 14 to see our profitability. In the second quarter of 2020, our return on equity measured with the net profit of the last 12 months over equity ratio was a positive 6.9%, and our EPS was 18 cents per share. On slide 15, you can see our debts. Gross debt at the end of the quarter was 2.9 billion reals. The cash position was 2 billion reals. Thus, our net debt was 905 billion reals. 19% of the total gross debt are related to loans for construction, and 71% is long-term. Our net debt over equity ratio was 17.1%, 1.0 percentage points above last quarter. Slide 16 shows the company's cash generation. In the second quarter of 2020, our cash use was 67 million compared to a cash generation of 13 million against last quarter and 196 million in the second quarter of 2019. And in the first half of the year, the cash use amounted to 54 million reais. Now, Rafa and I are going to go on to the question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Our first question comes from Mr. Enrique Trotta from Itaú BBA.
Hi, good morning, Rafa. Good morning, Miguel. Thank you for your presentation, two very quick questions. The first one is just if you could comment, and now looking forward in the third quarter of the year, based on what so far we've been having our sales dynamics, if you could just give us a hint on what is the relative performance between the high end and the mid to low end compared to the pre-crisis items. And if you could please just tell us a little on how the higher management is intending to launch for the second half of the year. We can see that we have quite a few people pretty encouraged with the post-COVID responses. And the second question, and that is more on the dividends. And we have the final inquiry with potential offers on short term, and we have this a second relevant area that could, you know, better for Cyrela. What is the timing? Is this your intention to pay the dividends in the short term or to hold the liquidity and wait a little bit to see how this economic scenario is going to build up along the next months? What is the expected timing of those dividends if those offers proceed? So if you could align with those two issues, that would be great. Enrico, good morning. This is Miguel. Well, first, with relation to the sales, indeed, we had a pretty good month of July. It was the best month of the year, and it was good not only in the launches. We had good launches and some launches, but also in our pre-sales and our finished units, and so we are indeed pretty encouraged to keep on launching and for the next quarters. And if the second half is good, we'll have, you know, room to add a couple of extra products to the market. As for the high end and Minha Casa and Minha Vida, well, the fact is Minha Casa Minha Vida is more resilient with a smaller delta, no market drops or falls. But in the high end, but or in the mid high end, then we had, you know, most of the increase in the volumes. And the sales volumes for both June and July. As for the second question, unfortunately, as you know very well, all those offers are processes underway, and we won't be able to make any specific comments relative to those, Enrico. It's all right, Miguel. Now, okay, so if you allow me another second question, which is if you could talk me about the competitive scenario in São Paulo, either for the low income or high income. I would say that the sales performance in the industry was a pretty good highlight in amidst all this crisis. People were talking about accelerating launches and just, you know, launching a lot of finished units. And because in São Paulo, we were talking about 30,000 units, and now they are talking about 60,000 units. So I'd like to know and to hear from you whether you have a major concern with all this, you know, surplus offer, or if you think because the interest rates are pretty low. So do you think the market can absorb that for the next 12 months? I'd like to hear from you about that.
Well, Enrico, yeah, we are still at the very beginning of the cycle, but you see, competition is competition. In other words, I mean, you just have to stay put and you know, get your grip, and you've got to be careful, of course. I mean, those are slipless slopes, but we are indeed pretty encouraged and excited about the economic cycle. Let's see what's going to be the level of competition, the size, and so I think this is a pretty it's a question that's always on our radar. Yeah, and it's really something that we can't really just we have to just you know have our heads up for that all the time. Thank you, Miguel.
Our next question comes from Mr. Elvis Credendio from BTG Pactual. Please move on, Mr.
Hi, good morning, Rafael. Good morning, Miguel. I have two questions here as well. The first one is with regards to the land plots. If you could give us an update on how the landowners are, do you think that the plots and prices are tending to a recovery? And what do you see about the strategy from now onwards? Do you think is it for us to take the first step for the next cycle, or is it too early? And the other question is with regards to initiation requests from the clients. If it would be good to have an update from you on what is the status of that and the portfolio, how it's been behaving.
Good morning. Good. Well, for the land and for the plots of land, really, I mean, it's a sort of a slower market, and you see, the prices that didn't, you know, fall in 1 or 2 months, and neither are going to go up, you know, that badly, and we are obviously going to have some economic recovery, but we have a couple of players buying
you see pots of land, and naturally the prices are going to go up. But we are not land bank speculators, and we're not anticipating and just, you know, trying to make money out of that. No, we are developers. So we needed to have a positive cash flow, and that's it. And we believe that the plots of land are a good part of that. And we think that our plan for 2021 is sort of, you know, the main concern is now maybe 2022. We think that the market is not saturated, if you will. So we can still do that. Now, with regards to competition, we don't know, but so far it's not something that you can marketly see yet. So it might come up, but it's just a matter of, you know, being attentive and keeping an eye on it. But we have been able to operate pretty satisfactorily. You know, interest rates, you know, play a big role, but it's really a matter of being attentive to how fierce the competition will be. Alvis. This is Miguel here. With regards to the negotiations that debts, we've had 11% of our clients have requested the renegotiation of installments, and a large share of them chose to pay because we were always obviously negotiating the interest rates, and a third of them basically have, you know, paid, and all the others are sort of, you know, pretty advanced in their negotiations. They remain like 2 to 3 months, you know, in that, but they are sort of, you know, getting back. So And this is obviously going to be translated in, we think that maybe something like 5 to 10% of the estimates that we did in the forecasts that we did for the year. But our renegotiation requests are standing to zero and for a while now. So we think the situation is pretty much under control. Oh, yeah. Thank you. That was pretty clear. Thank you. Our next question comes from Daniel Gasparetti from Credit Suisse. Daniel, please go on. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the call. Two questions. And the first is more related to how is it that you will see the interest rate scenario for the real estate use? Because, well, I mean, we could envision that this drop was about to come, but do you see any additional drop? That is something that we can expect in the short run. And the second question is more to understand the dynamics of the real estate prices. How do you see the pressure for an increase in the prices at the final consumer? So we have a scenario of potential growth and price raises in the short term. Good morning, Gasparetti. Miguel here. These the interest rates, you know, and the current products, we still think that there is some room for, a fall, because if you check the spot rates, and it's much higher if compared to the background figures. And on the other hand, we have this mismatch between the offer and demand, and that may hinder things a little bit. So we think that the structure of our products has to just evolve a little bit so that we can spread the offers. And we don't really have a lot of info on what should happen in the short term, but the banks are keeping an eye on this type of product. And we think that sooner or later, this is about to happen. If you check the loans for real estate, they are growing, you know, in their margins, and the companies are not delivering much. So offer and supply are indeed helping us right now. So it's a good opportunity for us to be more aggressive by changing products instead of just adding up on the spot rate for the existing products. So now linking this to the unit prices. I mean, of course, the drop on the interest rates affects the affordability pretty markedly, and that is probably going to be much lower than the rent that they might pay, and that encourages buyers. And this interest rate is a great mechanism of incrementing the offer and also for prices. So offer and supply And especially in São Paulo, the stock levels have gone down significantly. So this is a positive dynamics for price raises, and the interest rates are going to be one of the main drivers for that to happen. Okay, thank you very much. My apologies. Just bear in mind that in order to ask, if you have a question, please just press star one. Our next question is from Thaisa Alonso from Citibank. Ms. Alonso, please. You may proceed. Hi, good morning, everybody. My question is on the... My apologies for being a bit redundant, but São Paulo has represented 77% of the launches of the period. And considering Cyrela's participation, they only have 7%. And so how can we expect for the evolvement on this rhythm and also the competition perspective? And if you intend to sell your land bank in areas which are not that attractive. And the other question is with regards to the costs. You think that if by increasing the margin, do you know the margin of this project in front of the others, in face of the others? Hi, good morning. Well, I of course, São Paulo played a huge, you know, role in our market share, and it seems that it won't change much in the future. Now, here in São Paulo, the plots of land in some segments for 2020-2021, I mean, their grid is pretty full. For 2022, some segments we have our some of them the grid is full, and some others not exactly. So in some areas, we might need to procure for 2022, and we do that pretty carefully without any rush. And is this something that we do strategically? Of course. And we've left the areas that we didn't want to be. We are basically in São Paulo, Rio, and Porto Alegre. We have, you know, a couple of small plots here and there, so we can monetize them. But and also within São Paulo itself and Rio itself, I mean, we might have some which are not exactly strategic ones, so we might sell them and we you know, just have some liquidity because they're not exactly that strategic. So, Thaisa, let me address your second question. With regards to the margin, I mean, our margin is a mix of many different periods. And so, and our units are going with you know, lower margins. So at the finished units specifically, they are coming with gross margins of 35%, 34%, 35%. And especially if you consider what was at the end of 2018, 2019, those projects, they start to represent more of the gross margin. That's why it is going up a little bit, and it's sort of getting closer to the margins of the newest units. Just again, as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star one. Our next question comes from Mr. Marcelo Motta from JP Morgan. Mr. Marcelo, please, you may proceed. Good morning. Two quick questions. Still on the margin, I mean, we've been, you know, hearing from some corporations that the sales for finished units have increased, and people are sort of anxious to, you know, get themselves, you know, arranged soon. And so when Miguel said that this is a product that has a smaller margin than the launches, and I just wanted to know what was the pressure. And then the second question is on the revenues. Despite the COVID situation didn't really put many of Cyrela's projects on standstill, but it's still something that we might have to be careful on the third quarter and we might have some increase in productivity. So what do you envision as the rhythm for the following quarter?
Thank you, Mora.
Well, we haven't really noticed anything in particular about, you know, selling more due to COVID. I would say that this is still low income reshaping, many years of a crisis hit margin, historically low prices, high affordability. And this dynamic is just continuing, and we are getting back to the back, but to the old dynamics. And for our high end land banks and plots of land, I mean, we have been witnessing this segment slightly different, with people buying more plots of land and houses. But I hope this is the case. But we don't have this as a real evidence. Yeah, this is still normal market behavior, in my opinion. You know, the launches are going well, and this has nothing to do with COVID. So it's a normal cycle, really. And it's just the same that we saw that in the land banks and so on. But in the, and for the developers, not this much. With regards to the acknowledgement of the revenue and the works, indeed, in the south, we have a couple of works that had to be suspended more to the end of the quarter. And for sure, if they hadn't been put in the standstill, we might have had some more milling and a higher revenue recognition. So, but all in all, the work volume was pretty satisfactory considering the pandemics in the second quarter. I would say that the higher driver for the third quarter and to increase the revenues, the increase the stocks sales and units. So thank you. If you have a question, please press star one. Okay, so with no further questions, I would like now to give the word to Mr. Horn for his final remarks. Mr. Horn? Well, once again, thank you for your interest in Cyrela. And we are pretty confident in the future, and this has been pretty, and from the both human and the corporate perspectives, we are getting back to work, and either at home, you know, home-based or whatever, for the market dynamics and the consumption and the real estate sales, they are, you know, returning to normal faster than we expected. So we are pretty happy that the whole industry, executives from any sector, are pretty encouraged with, you know, this, you know, up a turn of this. So let's keep on working, and thank God that the COVID was a bit shorter than we thought it would. So thank you, and let's just step ahead. Well, that concludes Cyrela's conference call for today. Thank you very much for your participation, and thank you.